Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Drunk Women Solving Crime will be live at the Clapham Grand on the 15th of December. As well as being joined by the amazing Kate Thornton, they can also announce that one of the stars of Netflix's The Duchess, Michelle Dissuart, will also be joining them. But if that still isn't enough, Katie, Hannah and Taylor, then why not head over to their Patreon page and see what extra content you can get. There are videos, extra audio content, as well as ad-free episodes and shout-outs. Just go to patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Drunk Women.
Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Drunk Women.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I dated a fair few guys in New York who just called me the body.
A crunchy, fishy snack. Why not?
I know I don't talk good. I've had wine.
And everyone was so smashed by midnight, nobody could count backwards from 10.
No one knew how to do it.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another fantastic episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are joined this week by the fantastic actress and legend, Kelly Shirley.
Yay, yay, Kelly Shirley.
Better than all Kelly, you know, sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, Kelly.
In
hey,
so
Kelly,
many ways.
In every way. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Anyway, hello.
Hello. I think that's a fab introduction. Yeah, that's good.
Wait, in London, she's better than R. Kelly. It's Kelly Shirley.
It's like, I feel bad for anybody who has the surname Weinstein who's not actually Weinstein right now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You'd be like, the name department still open in the US? I don't know.
Well, you would have to, wouldn't you? You'd have to definitely change your name to anything. Mm.
Yeah.
That's always been
literally anything. Mr. Anything.
Mr. Anything. I want to be Mr. Cunto. Come on.
He never bothered anybody.
Yeah, your name could be ruined. Like people that were called Harry Potter before Harry Potter. Like that is a bad... And I was always thinking, like, you know, if there's a serial killer that has your name. But as women, we're sort of okay with that because not many serial killers are women. So I think we're safe.
Mae West.
Yeah. You got to be quite specific.
I
bet there is, though. I bet there's a Mae West out there.
The worst name, if for a chick, I remember my friend used to prank call people called Sarah Connor. Back in the olden days when there was a phone book, he used to go to a phone box and just go through and just ring Sarah Connors.
I mean, that is low hanging fruit. There are so many Sarah Connors, like that's such a common name.
It must have been annoying for the Sarah Connors.
Also, do you mean Rose West, or are we?
Oh shit!
No, I'm glad you said that. I'm like, is it Mae West? Kind of a
Mae West
icon?
Is that iconic singer? Oh my god! This is what happens when I start drinking really early. Like, brain cells go. Fucking Mae West is an incredible, like, goddess.
I love it though. I love that mix up of Mae West and Rose West.
No, I do this.
It was great too. I was thinking, I thought it was Rose. I guess I'm wrong. That was my internal monologue.
Oh my god.
And I was like, don't correct them. You're American. Oh, you have your own serial killers.
There's no hope for me tonight, ladies. there's
no hope. That's just where we want you. This is great.
Kelly Shirley, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I've been a dick, basically. And when I was showing off to my husband how cool I am, I was driving in my Nissan Micra going really fast because, you know, that's I'm cool. You know, when those guys at this side of the road with, like, how fast you're going?
Oh, yeah. Which traffic guy?
And I went just by his...
A police officer?
Yeah, police officer. And Phil was going, Cal, there's a police... You know, there's a guy there. Just stop. And I was going, oh, shut up. Anyway, I got loads of points, basically. Oh. Loads of points. And like a dick. And when I was stopping, trying to get slower, I burst the tyre of the car. Because I went up on the curb. And so I look like doubly dick Shirley.
That was such a bit
of that well-known serial killer.
I was already picturing you like Kristen Wiig in Bridesmaids when she does
that. Yeah, that's what I was doing too. Yeah. That's my favourite
reference.
So when
you're like, I popped the tyre, I'm like, of course you did. You're a legend, just like we said.
How far into dating your husband? Were you already married? Were you just dating? Was it early days?
We were courting. We were just courting.
When you burst the tyre.
Just courting. And I didn't realise that the tyre was in the back of the car, that, you know, that cars had tyres in the back.
Oh, yeah.
So that I paid to have an extra tyre put on, I mean, which cost loads of money. And the guy was like, you've got one in the back. Why are you fucking telling me I've got one in the back? Why would you charge me?
Yeah, he tells you after. Yeah.
I like to think that he proposed to you right there and then. He's like, yep, this is the girl for me.
Yeah.
And
cool in a crisis. Not scared of the pigs.
She'll buy a tire even if she has one. That's the woman for me.
And then she's still got a spare, so that's smart.
Yeah. Ooh. And like 9 points.
Oh no.
Oh girl, that's a lot of points. And I know because I
love it. Prizes.
On my parents' first date with each other, my dad drove my mum into London and got a speeding ticket.
Nice.
Aww.
He is a bad boy.
He's a really bad driver. He's a good boy, but a terrible driver.
Oh, he couldn't wait to get to the date. He was really excited.
I was driving on the Isle of Wight once, and I was driving into a little town, and a car was driving towards me. It was like a Land Rover, and it was this guy in it. And he was making this hand gesture at me, which was like this.
Not like that.
pushing.
Yeah.
For the listeners, that was the wanker sign that Kelly Shirley just did.
But Hannah's was like the slow down symbol,
the
right?
The stops like a
stop,
waving.
Slow down. Yeah.
It was like a wavy thing. I didn't know what that meant at all. So I made a face as if to say, like, fucking what? And then it turned out there was a speed camera. And that's what he was trying to tell me. And I felt really moved.
Because that's different, again, from the sign that, oh, there's a blockage up ahead. That's like, whatever. I'm doing a wavy round sign.
Do you know what? Hand signals on a podcast is a really good section. My favourite one, though, was that my nana, who I mean, I imagine this was obviously years before I was born, but I always imagine her to be a 90-year-old woman. But she was sat in the back of my granddad's car and there was a traffic jam. And she tried to tell the person behind that there were two cars in front of my granddad. Oh. And so she just kept going like that. <Yeah. laughs> two fingers.
Hannah just did fuck off.
Or a and reverse just peace sign.
Just this great. Tiny little old lady.
Oh,
just...
that's brilliant.
I did the classic cry to try to get out of a speeding ticket. Like, literally 16, only had my license 6 months, speeding with my boyfriend, and didn't work at all. I mean, I had, like, full tears. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I'm crying. And, God, it was so expensive. And I was already so ashamed to tell my parents because clearly I didn't have the money, so I was going to have to borrow it. So I was like, I'm going to throw in everything else I've fucked up on. So I'm like, also, I smoke, and that night that I told you, like, it became like a confessional to my parents. I'm like, I'm just gonna get it all out, and it was cathartic. It was really good. So thanks, Pennsylvania Police Force. I learned a lot.
That's good. Kelly, we ask everybody if you had the perp, what would you say to them? But in this case, the perp.
If I had the perp.
You do have the pert, young lady, but...
the perpetrator of the crime. But that's kind of just like a really annoying speed camera guy that's kind of, like, ruined your day. Like,
I mean, I was being a dick. I mean, fair enough. Fair enough.
I was trying to look cool, man. What are you doing?
Well, she confessed a crime, so it's tricky. She kind of has to talk to herself. But look, she wound up working off the points and getting married. So I'd say fucking cheers to that.
Actually,
well done.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
The husband was very impressed.
Just for the listener, though, don't speed, guys. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get married.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
So I'm going to start this case with a dead body being found at 4 a.m. on New Year's Day.
So marriage,
Happy New Year, everybody.
I need to make notes.
Oh, we love note takers. Like. I love
You're
it.
You're going to be Jenny Eclair, aren't you, and make notes.
I love it.
This is the body of Edwin Bartlett. He had gone to bed and been sleeping next to his wife, Adelaide Blanche Bartlett. Just before 4 a.m., she asked her maid to call Dr. Leach.
They phoned Dr. Leach.
Yeah,
He did it.
Nice. I love that you're already, like, guessing who the murderer is. Yes, so it could be Dr. Leach. He could be culpable. We will find out. She was afraid that her husband was dead. Question, was he dead?
Oh. I don't think you're called a body until you're dead. You know, like, because you said a body. Because if, like I said, I woke up next to a body, you wouldn't be like, that's just Toby having a sleep. You'd be like, he is dead.
It's a really heavy sleeper.
Like, it's just...
I think I dated a fair few guys in New York who just called me the body. That's why we're no longer
Elle
together.
Elle McPherson was called the body. So,
Could be Elle McPherson.
It could be Elle.
That's why I finally figured it out.
It wasn't because you just seemed like you were dead the whole time.
Yes, I think he was dead or nearly dead.
You think so? Hannah and Taylor think he was dead. Kelly?
I'm going to say he wasn't dead because why would you ask this question?
Very, very astute.
Yes.
By the time the doctor got there, he was dead.
Oh.
But was he when she called him?
So
he
nearly. We don't know.
Ooh. We don't know. But when the doctor got there, the doctor was like, yes, he is dead. Do you guys want to guess the year? All you really have is the name Edwin and the existence of maids.
I already know it. It's 1876.
1876. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess, higher or lower, you guys?
Guess it's not, because you would have looked really excited.
You're not far off. I don't want to ruin it for the others.
Ooh,
1852. 52.
Kelly. I'm going to go for 1888.
Oh, my God. Kelly is the closest. Woo-hoo. It is 1886.
Wow. Oh,
hey. Yes. Welcome to the force.
Yes.
So it is New Year's Day, 1886. Adelaide cannot party like it's 1886. Even though it is, her husband is dead. So, question, what was the cause of death?
Well, I mean, it was New Year's Eve the night before, so I think possibly poisoning because of all the evenings.
I just wrote that. Well, I wrote poise because I didn't finish it in time.
He had so much poise, he just died of poise.
That girl is poised.
Sorry, Kelly, go on. Go with your logic. What's your logic? We'll share the answer.
You started, so you finished. Go on.
Only that a good night to poison someone on would be New Year's Eve because there's a lot of drinks going around.
A lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
Pass it off as that. Okay, so you both are on the same page. Taylor, anything different?
Yeah, specifically strychnine.
Okay, Taylor's going strychnine. Boom. Now, poison is correct, specifically chloroform.
That's what I said.
Now, this is what's happening in the case. Chloroform. They found a 16th of an ounce of chloroform in his stomach, which regular listeners of the podcast will be pleased to know is 1.8 grams. Because that is what I do. I convert things for everybody. So now, straight away, there is something very strange about this. It might be difficult to guess without a degree in chemistry, the specific properties of chloroform and its effects on the body. I imagine we have some science listeners that might be gleefully getting this right at home. But my question is, what was weird about what the chloroform had or had not done to the body?
Well, is it the sense that with chloroform, you're supposed to breathe it in? But we're supposed to. Like, it's
that's what we know about chloroform, right, from films, that it knocks you out.
So it kind of makes me think, if he ingested it, what happens if you drink chloroform?
Exactly. That's what, if you know that, you have the answer to this question.
So the blood, but this is
his... takes something to get into the bloodstream.
That's a good guess. Basically, chloroform does something to the body. But had this chloroform done that to this body?
I'm guessing
so. There's something weird about what it should or should not have done. But this has been ingested, so it's a different kettle of fish in terms of
does it give you the shits?
Well, that's a good guess. Give you the shits. Okay.
So it renders
you the shits from Kelly.
They're unconscious, but okay, hold on.
It's found in his stomach. How did it get in his stomach?
Well, he ate it, I guess.
Okay.
But it all ends up in the bloodstream, so I'm confused what you're getting at.
Well, they find it in the stomach.
Oh, they find... Oh, so is it hidden within another object or food rather than...
I like eating late at night because I like going to sleep knowing my body is still, like, doing shit. I'm like, the lights are off, but, like, my body is still working.
But everybody is still home.
Your body is a temple that works night shifts. So, basically, chloroform is a corrosive substance, so it should have eroded his throat and windpipe.
Oh, it had been encapsulated in something to protect it.
Interesting guess, because this is what everybody in this case had a problem with. Ooh. But basically, there was a 16th of an ounce of chloroform in his stomach, and swallowing that much would have induced vomiting, and there should have been at least trace amounts of the substance and burns left in his mouth and or throat and windpipe, neither of which were found in his throat. I feel like Taylor has just... in a way, solved this case. But anyway,
guys,
that never happens.
Come on.
Because seriously, this is this huge mystery of how did this get in his stomach? And if he didn't swallow it,
he swallowed a condom like drug mules do, full of something like everybody does on New Year's Eve. Am I right?
In 1886.
Come on. Somebody had enough knowledge of the substance to know to encapsulate it in something that would dissolve in the stomach so that it would get into his bloodstream and kill him, but would not just be vomited up, right?
Now I am intrigued about capsules because none of my sources mention them, and I feel like that kind of solves this. But question, how did Adelaide, his loving wife, say the poison chloroform got into his stomach?
Well, it's weird if she's saying that poison got into his stomach at all, right? I mean, we were all eating poison. We were just having a good time.
But what, does she think he did it on purpose? Does she think somebody killed him? What does she think happened?
Like a suicide. Did she blame it
on suicide? You're going suicide,
yeah.
Taylor?
Yeah,
you sorry, guys think I'll suicide, Hannah and Kelly?
You know, by misadventure, one of those ones.
An accidental suicide.
Yeah.
The bottles got mixed up.
Yeah.
He thought it was to soothe his
sexual
rheumatism.
Desire.
Yeah, he thought it was Viagra.
Yeah.
You know what? It could be something that's... like, just last night, my friend was telling me about a Christmas dinner that they had that accidentally had some rat poison in it. Now, there was a reason why the rat poison was in
it's a big leap.
It's a huge leap, isn't it? And, because chloroform, it's like... Back in the day, things like arsenic were used for sort of, it was for skin and stuff, wasn't it? So there would be maybe reason why a woman or a family would have chloroform in the house.
A possible legitimate reason.
Yeah, like right now, if you go to a guy's house and he's got chloroform, you're not going to go like, oh, I bet that's for something fine. But
I think this is my soulmate.
Yeah, yeah. So back in the olden timey days, perhaps it had been something like accidental that she's like, oh, yes, we have chloroform in the house and it looks quite a lot like the chicken stock. So I put it in the soup.
Okay. So everybody's going accident. So Kelly and Hannah, accident, suicide. Taylor's going full on actual suicide. Now that the correct answer is yes. Adelaide said that he deliberately committed suicide. Question: how did Edwin's father think the chloroform got there? What did he think happened?
Edmund.
So the dead guy, what did the dead guy's dad think happened?
Was his name not Edmund?
It was Edwin.
Edwin.
I feel like Edwin hated her.
Very Victorian.
I feel like he hated Edwin's her. Father. Yeah, so he immediately blamed the wife, I bet.
Correct, Taylor. You guys don't even get to answer, I'm sorry. Taylor is correct.
You're on fire. This is amazing.
I should drink the excess more often.
She's right about everything when she's drunk. It's not just how she feels, she is right.
That is a great sketch, isn't it? She's right about everything when she's drunk. And just this woman.
You should leave him.
Yeah.
She's right. Edwin's dad had always hated her. He had, in fact, previously accused her of having an affair with Edwin's younger brother.
Oh, there
and
we go.
So this grieving, angry father tries to persuade the authorities to look into the death. Do the authorities look into the death?
Yeah.
Taylor says yes.
I say no.
Kelly says no.
Kelly, why?
I say no because I reckon it'd probably be easier just to like go, it's a suicide, rather than take police time and money and effort. Just easier, isn't it?
It's a lot of work. Yeah, yeah.
I agree with that, up to the point that you said earlier that they're quite a wealthy family.
Oh, yeah, maybe they pay them off.
Well, if a man dies in a wealth... I think if she died, then they'd probably go, oh, yes, it's hysteria, she's a woman. But because a wealthy man has died, perhaps they do look into it.
Hannah George, ding, 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 good instincts, you are correct.
Do you know what, I love being right, but yeah, but you're right, it's like...
No, you're literally right, a white man is asking them for justice, of course they look into it, that is what they're for, that is all they're for. There is an inquest, and it is overseen by a Mr. Braxton Hicks.
Would
bonus point, would anyone like to tell me what Mr. Braxton Hicks might be famous for?
He was famous for pre-contractions during pregnancy.
You are super close in such an unfair way that you should basically get the point, but basically...
Kelly, does Kelly know, though?
Like, it's when you think you're going into labour, but you're not actually going into labour just yet. You're very close.
It's, yeah, the false contractions.
Yeah.
Very much the pre-cum of...
the pre-crumb of contractions, that's what Braxton Hicks are.
Do you know what? I've gone too far there, and I apologise to everyone listening.
You're spot on, though. You are right.
Also,
you
we just right. found out that Katie calls it pre-crumb. Before the cookie, there's the
I've
pre-crumb.
Had wine. This guy, Mr. Braxton Hicks, his dad is Dr. Braxton Hicks, who invented Braxton Hicks. This guy
invented
like,
it.
He invented it.
Oh, so he's this just guy, like the son of a cramp.
Yeah, this guy is literally like, Dr. Brax is my father. Call me AJ. In 1872, Dr. Braxton Hicks described the uterine contractions not resulting in childbirth, now known as Braxton Hicks contractions. But this, I know I don't talk good. I've had wine.
What, pre-crum?
It's really bad, isn't it?
Anyway, this is his name. Athelstan. Athelstan Braxton Hicks.
Athelstan.
I'm going to spell it for you. A-T-H-E-L-S-T-A-N. Athelstan. Athelstan Braxton Hicks.
Athelstan.
Athelstan.
Maybe.
Athelstan Braxton Hicks. Did you write that down, Kelly?
Yeah, well, just because I've never seen that name before.
I have never seen that name before either.
Just...
Like, she's okay. Still taking them, even though this is clearly a very drunk episode. And she's like, but we justice must be served again.
She's keeping us to book, and that is good. Athelstan Braxton Hicks was a coroner. Now, I don't want to get too distracted by him because he was famous in his own right for investigating the suspicious deaths of children and life insurance racket stuff, because a lot of people were killing their kids for money in the Victorian era.
Wow.
Oh. Hooray.
Okay.
So he was a big deal, but he made several reforms, notably that inquests were no longer held in pubs.
Oh, really? Is that literally
no
his reform?
Way.
That's one of the, like, three big things that he's famous for. He was like, guys, you just can't hold inquests in pubs.
Oh, my God.
And everyone's like, wow,
kill your
he's
kids.
A really famous guy.
I love connecting episodes to other episodes. That's great. Because I was like, when did the pub inquest thing stop from... another episode
it's because
week.
Of this guy's reform. Like, there's like there's so much, but I don't want to get distracted.
Well,
so
then
anyway.
Of course his son stopped smoking in pubs, which was amazing. And that's not true.
This family are called like the Killjoys. It's like his inquest that he did, so he was famous being like quite a hard-ass, hard-nosed inquest guy. He's in charge of this inquest, of course. Willful murder is his verdict. He says that there's a verdict of willful murder, so she's arrested, Adelaide Bartlett is arrested, and then of course we have a sensational trial. But before we get to that, I want to give you a little bit more information, because that is what the real cops call casework.
Are we,
I'm assuming,
in the UK? Like, I feel like, did we even say where we are?
We are in the UK.
Okay.
I'm very sorry. I should have said
with
that.
With a name like Sir Adelaide Merchant Bartlett.
You know what, as well? I could have given you this. This case is also called the Pimlico Mystery. So we're literally in Pimlico in London.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to write that down as well.
I should have told you that at the top, I'm sorry. I feel like I do get a lot of my knowledge about the force from American films. And I do feel like my training just makes me think that we still would just be running around shouting, LAPD, freeze! I'm going to get down to brass tacks and just tell you a little bit about the case. This is just background for the people. Some people said that the relationship between Adelaide Blanche Bartlett and Edwin Bartlett was strange from the beginning. Mm. Now, she's 10 years younger than him, which, not that strange.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's
don't
normal.
Get personal, but I've got an age difference. But they married in 1875. When she is 19 and this guy is 29. Now, she came from France. Loads of my sources were like, she was French-born. She came from France.
Oh, bonjour.
Now, so she was Adelaide Blanche de la Tremoille. Now, so quick bit of family info on her. Mm. Now, her father was rumoured to be a wealthy and possibly even titled member of Queen Victoria's entourage who had visited France at the time that she was conceived in 1855. And they thought he was possibly Adolphe Colette de la Tremoli, Comte de Trousseau, whatever, Escurie, something I can't pronounce. I can't pronounce things at the best of times.
That's fine. I like how you handled that. That's cool.
Yeah, I feel like at least if I offend France, it's not as bad as Scotland, is it? We're basically neighbours with France and Scotland, and I offend everybody. So anyway, now...
They're fine. They're both fine. It's fine.
It's fine. They have to forgive us, even if they're slightly clenching their jaws. So none of that is especially strange. I mean, we're not all secretly related to Queen Victoria's entourage, but it was the olden days.
She was posh, basically, right? Like, that's what I'm taking from that. Like, she was
well-bred.
Yeah, it's this weird... I'm quite interested in this little hinterland between, like, not necessarily a married mother, but she still gets to be posh, but it's the Victorian era. But I guess she's from France.
They actually call it well baguette in France.
Horrible, Jack. Horrible.
Welcome to our French listeners.
Why aren't you good enough for our Edwin? But probably being French is enough, right? To just resent.
Actually, so there is. So one of the things about his family, have I done that? Can't read my own writing.
Do you handwrite your notes?
No, I can't read my own printed notes. I have scribbled on.
Did Edwin's dad not like her because she was French? And
that is possible. Now, I can't find it in my notes, but I can tell you from my memory, Edwin is from a family. So they're rich, but they're a family of grocers, and they're a very tight-knit, close family of grocers. So they may well have been very suspicious and unfriendly to somebody that had come from overseas.
Sure, sure. Your baguettes are
with
superior.
An accent.
With an accent. Why is all your cheese and bread better than ours?
Yes,
and wine.
And your society and your wine and everything. You seem like
and
really
classy.
And your
general approach to life. Fuck yeah. You.
And underwear.
Fuck you.
Yeah. And your underwear. And we're just still arguing about shit that doesn't matter. So that's possible.
Possible.
Now, I invite you all to guess a detail about their marriage that might be considered strange.
Did they not have kids, and was that considered strange?
Excellent guess, and actually we will get to that in a moment. Mm. That is coming up, so you are right, but in a minute. Oh. You guys, I'm pointing
Edwin's
at the
gay.
Details. You know what? Ding, ding, ding. I'm going to give it to you. Don't know if he was gay, but this marriage was supposedly intended to be platonic the whole time.
Oh.
Which, given what we know about the strict rules about how everybody was treated, could actually be an explanation. It could be that he was gay, but they had to tick all the boxes and everybody had to be legitimate and blah, blah, blah. So it could have been a marriage of convenience in terms of she wants to fuck these guys, he wants to whatever. I don't know.
Fuck these guys.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a lot in common.
Yeah, so it's like the musical Amelia. They're just
That's
like...
interesting, though, that they can go into a marriage intending for it to be platonic.
Yes, which is what the rich posh people did, because everything was just a fucking joke. It's like, yes, we have these rules for the poor people, but we can do whatever we like, so we'll tick this box, but actually we're doing whatever we want.
Yeah.
Drunk women solving crime.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So this marriage was platonic. Apparently it had always been intended to be platonic. And the sources differ on this, because one of my sources said that Edwin seemed to have no interest in satisfying his young wife sexually. And within a year, she was having an affair with the brother-in-law. But another source said that the deal said that it was meant to be platonic from the get-go, and that the brother-in-law thing was only speculation and it wasn't proven, blah, blah, blah. So the info that it was intended to be a platonic marriage came from Adelaide during the trial, which in a way is suspicious. Or is it? Now, they were married in 1875, and there is something that throws into question whether the marriage was intended to be platonic. In 1881, something happened. Question, what happened?
They did have a child.
Oh, yes.
And was that sort of like, we thought they weren't having sex at all?
Yes. So, you are correct. Kelly touched on it earlier, and Taylor is saying it now. In 1881... she has a baby, but it is very sadly stillborn.
Oh.
This is a horrible. when she was having this baby, Edwin had apparently refused her female nurse's advice to call a male doctor during a difficult labour because he did not want another man to, in quotes, interfere with her.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
boy.
Controlling.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So very controlling. Because how many other options are there? Like, there's midwife being sort of blacklisted because they're like, midwife, these women that think they understand vaginas.
I do feel like that's the opposite of female workplace, that it's like, merely go workplace.
Yeah, are you even, in the olden time it is, were you even allowed to have female doctors? Like, when were women allowed to be doctors?
Oh, wow. I mean, women were actually training to be doctors for ages, but they weren't necessarily recognised. But obviously, there were not very many of them. Mm. So if you wanted somebody, you would have to get a dude.
This is what's crazy, is you look back and it's like, well, that part of the body is foreboden. So it was just sort of like, we'll just ignore anything that happens there.
It's a really weird one.
Oh, God.
Also, I just want to say, and this is not in any good taste in this context, but if we were gonna have a jingle for male workplace, I think it should be macho macho man. I wanna be a macho man. Anyway,
that was okay.
I'm not trying to slag off men. It's their actions have real world consequences.
You're slagging off Edwin. You're not. Slagging
I'm slagging off Edwin. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Because he was a real twat, wasn't he?
Well, he's. Definitely sounds like a twat in this. And, like, it's really weird because other stuff that happens later really contradicts this. So I'm really not sure what even is happening. But all of my sources agreed on that. So that it feels like that is something that definitely happened. Mm. That happened in 1881. Awful. A few years later, something else happens. Like, that is a one-off. It doesn't seem like they've had sex, but that's happened.
If I can just wildly speculate, though, let's assume that Edwin is gay, so he's privileged enough that he's in a wealthy family, they've contrived this marriage.
Uh-huh.
You would be going to great lengths to prove that you had this perspective. So it's almost like you would overcompensate.
That you're, that you're having sex and your seed works and that you've got a baby kind of thing.
Yeah, so you could almost be like, I won't let him male doctor in with my woman. I love baseball. Like,
as a performance almost.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet that's not a million miles off. Like, it's insane to me. So that's 1881. Years go by. In 1885, a new thing happens in their relationship, which also could be considered strange or unconventional. I'm going to give you guys a clue. This would also be considered strange or slightly unconventional today.
Oh.
It could happen today, but there would be people going, oh.
Open relationship.
Ding, 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 ding,
oh,
ding.
Oh, my way.
We've got a new superintendent on our hands.
She's got it.
Oh.
Basically, they kind of have this weird little love triangle going on. So Edwin introduces a third to the marriage. Who is this guy who is a guy? So he brings home. I'm really into the facts, you guys.
Come on, I'm ready to write the name. What's the name?
Oh, so he is called Reverend George Dyson.
Ooh. Reverend? The Hoover guy?
Reverend Vacuum. I mean, this is hot.
There's a lot. There's a lot of layers to this.
Service both parties.
Mr. Dyson?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if he is.
With his suction.
There can't be that many Dysons, but yes.
Wow.
So I'm going to go, yeah, it's definitely related to the Dyson dynasty.
This is great. I invented suction.
As well. Suction that you can't compare to.
Equal opportunity suction.
Yeah, he bings this guy and he's like, here you go, babe, have at it. I'm paraphrasing. But he brings him home and in 1885, Reverend George Dyson becomes a frequent visitor. And he becomes Adelaide's tutor and the couple's spiritual counsellor and friend. I feel like there's a lot of red flags all over that. But Dyson was a Wesleyan minister, which is a kind of a version of Methodism. Basically, this Wesleyan people, I read about this, they're like Methodists. They tried to go to America in like the 1700s to convert America, but America wouldn't have them. So then they came back to England. They were like, yeah, well, we're just Methodists.
Oh, my God,
we'll
it's like Cher Lloyd.
In England.
I'm joking. Yeah. I actually think she probably did quite well in America. I was just trying to think, quick, who went to America and tried to crack America?
She's like Oasis and everyone that went before them.
Yeah.
Very few people.
Robbie Williams.
America.
The Robbie Williams of religion. But were they not accepted because they were liberal in their beliefs? Like, I'm trying to read between the lines. Like, trying to think, whatever.
Do you know what? I genuinely, from the very light reading that I did, I think that they just weren't offering anything new. I think America had what they had.
Okay.
Like, they were like, well, if we just have to follow these rules, that guy has these rules and he's already American, so I'll just copy him.
Just because, based on nothing, Methodists in my head, like, I'm totally going on stereotypes in the States, but like, there's no like stereotypical, like, wow, hardcore dogmatic associations with Methodists. Like, the way you're like, I'm spiritual, but not religious.
Yeah, I think it was like quite laid back. And I imagine like the people in like certain religions in America would have been a bit more dogmatic and a bit more, we've got this lockdown. So there's maybe no room for them to really go, hey, we're going to be laid back. They were like, no, we're locked down.
Especially because it was like we were doing our like, we're going to be even more righteous than the homeland.
I genuinely, I think it is. They couldn't offer anything that America wanted. And they all came home and they were like, it's fine, we'll just do England.
They're like, we're just going to go in on a threesome marriage and we'll just...
that's what we'll do. We'll just get real sexy back in the UK. Yeah. So,
all the Methodists listening, sorry. We know fuck all about y'all.
To all the Victorian Methodists listening, we're judging you. Dyson said that he had been encouraged by Edwin to openly romance Adelaide with Edwin's permission, but that is a story that Adelaide and Dyson told in court. So, is
that's
it
the
true?
Problem,
who
isn't
knows?
It? When someone's
who knows?
Murdered.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. Who knows? Now, Edwin made Dyson executor of his will, in which he left his entire estate to Adelaide on condition that she did not remarry, which was a common stipulation in those days. But later, very close to his death, maybe 4 months before he died, he removed that clause so that Adelaide could remarry. Again, coincidence? So, question, why might Edwin want another dude to pork his wife?
Beautifully
and we've kind of touched on this.
So she gets pregnant again and they can have a baby and continue the...
The lie?
Yeah.
That's a good guess.
Well, so the marriage breaks down. I guess as per what you just said, if the dissolution clause was initially more strict...
You know, that she was the beard kind of thing for him.
Yeah, to help keep up the beard thing. I think these are all really good answers. And actually, I reckon that there's some truth to that. But I will give you some facts also, which is that Edwin was suffering with several unpleasant illnesses at this time.
Oh.
He had rotting teeth. And he also probably had tapeworms.
Oh!
Now, Edwin was supposedly...
So I don't know why I'm laughing. My nan, back Audrey, she used to buy tapeworm eggs in the 60s. Because
no.
They
sold them.
Yeah.
For dieting.
Yeah.
Ah,
no.
Shut up.
We've been talking about it recently, about her and about that. Yeah.
That is crazy.
So what's the crack there? You just bought some tapeworm eggs and you let them hatch in your stomach?
Yeah.
They eat all your food and you lose weight while
you
they
lose
fill
loads
your intestine.
Of weight, yeah.
I'm getting to that point in lockdown though where I'm like, what are my options? Did she take them?
Wow. She did. She was very thin.
Oh my God. She was void of vitamin C, A, B.
She didn't care. She was thin. She was all these worms inside her.
Wow.
Yeah, you could buy them.
And then did she get them taken out again at a certain point? Because otherwise, that can get life threatening.
I don't know.
Right?
I didn't get that far. But I don't know. Maybe they lived in her for years. Who knows?
But also, our horror as modern people, and we're like, yeah, all we do is cut inside of our bodies, suck it out with a vacuum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Like, I mean, we can't talk for sure.
Wow.
But still, like, you could have a 30-foot tapeworm inside you. It will take ages to pull it out.
Yeah. On a good day. How big's your tapeworm, girl? Yeah, mine's 60 foot, actually.
And yet, if you want to be a guy in a film, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You barely have to work out. Anyway.
Oh, the bad teeth I get, the tapeworms for your marriage, I'm not sure how that would affect it.
No,
I mean, she's not going to want to shag him with rotting teeth, is she? She's not going to.
I think that would have been a huge turn off, even in those days.
Yeah, because if they make a note of that in the 19th century, imagine how bad
that's
it is.
Some bad teeth right there.
That's just like, oh, well, one tooth is kind of gray.
Yeah. And, you know, he's posh. He should have good teeth. He's got money. Now, towards the end of 1885, Adelaide asked Dyson to get some chloroform that had been prescribed by the doctor treating Edwin.
But this
Dr. Leach would later admit that he prescribed it reluctantly and that it was at the insistence of his patient. But his patient was Edwin, so it does sound like maybe Edwin still wanted it, but again, who do we trust? Now, under the laws of the day, you had to sign a book at the chemist's pharmacy as a record of buying medical poisons, but only if it was a large amount of a chemical poison. So question, how did they get around this?
The little regulations are adorable. You'll have to put your name down if it's 500 grams of heroin, dear.
What did they literally just be like, I'll just order half a gram of chloroform and then I'll order another half a gram the next day? So consequently, no name and no books.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you've done this before.
Hi.
She knows how to get chloroform.
Bit by bit. Yeah, that's a good answer.
Yeah, and you are correct. He bought four small bottles of chloroform instead of one large bottle, and he bought them in several shops, claiming that he needed it to remove grease stains.
Fucking hell, that's what I do with wine. I'm just like, I don't want my news agents down the road to know that, like, I'm coming
how
in
much wine
every,
you spill.
Yeah, like every single day.
Oh, Hannah, that's so funny. Because a lockdown conversation I've had with my husband genuinely is, I'm like, yeah, I do want some Sauvignon Blanc, but don't go to the regular place. Because I have this feeling of like, God, how much, you know, you look at your bank statement and you're like, oh.
I know. I'm also, our corner shop, like, we always just go there for the really dirty stuff. We're like there for the wine or the cans of beer.
You've
or the
got, like a dirty shop.
Giant Watsits or the Twix. Like, you know, we go to Sainsbury's, mate, for our broccoli. Of course we're doing that. Of course we're doing that. But the only shit they ever see me buy in the corner shop is these cherry sour sweets.
Oh, like, yes. Well, yeah, lovely. You're not going to get your, like, wilted veg. The thing I love about London is, like, all the veg boxes that are right on a main road. It's like, diesel-covered clementines. Yes, please. We're keeping them in business, though. I'm like, local business.
What is chloroform supposed to do?
Well, it's a poison. It does several things.
Let's find out. Now,
has anyone got any? Everyone go to your bathroom.
They used it as an anesthesia, didn't they? I mean, they would operate on people under chloroform.
Because that's
dentists.
What we have. Mm-hmm. I bet. Yeah, this is all right. It was a very cheap knockout, wasn't it?
But what would you need it for at home?
Well, it removed grease stains.
Grease stains.
So it was cleaning.
Genuinely did lots of stuff.
Need open heart surgery or to remove that stubborn stain on your carpet? Chloroform is here for you.
Seriously, I bet we could find some good
efforts. I do voiceovers, guys. Hire me.
Only after Edwin's death did Dyson claim to suddenly realise how suspicious his actions were. You don't buy that. Now, on New Year's Eve, the 31st of December, 1885, Edwin Bartlett returned from a visit to the dentist and went to sleep alongside Adelaide in their Pimlico flat. Just before 4 a.m., she calls the doctor.
What a fucking night.
Wait, he went to the dentist on New Year's Eve?
Because he had rotting teeth.
I don't think it was a national holiday in those days. Yeah, I think he had really bad teeth.
Okay.
And he had to see the dentist.
Okay. Don't you feel like they would celebrate it more because of the things they'd survived? Like old cholera be forgot and all the other disease.
But I know what you mean, Kelly. I feel like it doesn't matter how many years ago this was.
Antibiotics be invented and then we'll
it's still
all
a big thing.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going like, into 1887 was big.
It should have been a night off for the workers, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
It should have been good money for the pubs.
Yeah.
It's weird that he was going to a dentist.
I always remember my favourite New Year's Eve was
party night.
I was at my local pub, and everyone was so smashed by midnight, nobody could count backwards from 10. No one knew how to do it. 10, 7, 14. It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
That sounds like a beautiful memory. Okay, so she calls to the doctor just before 4 a.m. because he's dead. Trial sensational, that's where we started, yada yada, lots of press, UK and abroad. Now, at the opening of the trial, charges were read out against both George Dyson and Adelaide, but the prosecution immediately asked for the charges against Dyson to be dropped, and he was formally acquitted before the trial even started. Now, this enabled the prosecution to call him as a prosecution witness, but it also made it possible for the defence to take advantage of his testimony.
Oh,
so it's
boy.
Kind of like 50-50.
Mm. This man's going to invent vacuums. We have to give him a good position.
I have not done enough research. Imagine if that's what happens. Now, Adelaide Bartlett was defended by Sir Edwin Clarke, who suggested that Thomas Bartlett had committed suicide. Now, this lawyer guy that she gets, this Clarke guy, was huge that she got this guy. He's like this amazing lawyer. But it's the reason people said that she got this lawyer was rumoured because her mysterious father's intervention. So this is like her dad is secretly in Queen Victoria's entourage. He's got money. That's his daughter. He's paying for this posh
and celebrity
lawyer.
A little bit.
Yes. Mm. It's literally like she's Paris Hilton. So she's got the best lawyer. She's not going to do time for that DUI, whatever. I haven't checked if that's what happened to Paris Hilton, but I feel like there was a parking thing.
That is an old reference. I love an old reference because I always say Kerry Katona and people
see,
always
that
like,
would be Kerry better.
I went with Cher Lloyd. Yeah, we're all like, let's do old references tonight.
I'm
please.
So, like, I'm so.
What
not
up? Could
a good
we be
millennial.
More Gloria Steinem? Yeah.
Do you remember?
You should also
when,
get
like,
her on as well.
I want Mae West after she killed all those people.
Not Rose. Not Rose.
I would take either West happily. Fine.
You know, also, if this. When this comes out, if we leave in the initial Mae West bit, there'll be people listening going, but it was Rose West. And they'll be angry for 5 minutes until
what
we actually go, wait, it was Rose West. We get it.
Because also anyone in the US would be like, did Mae West kill people too? I mean,
oh,
we have such a fucked up history. We'd be like, yeah, I guess she did. Yeah. Like if somebody told me Marilyn Monroe had killed 10 people, I'd be like, yeah, well, Hollywood is a cruel, cruel place. So
it was crazy back then.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So now she's got this posh lawyer because her dad is probably posh. So that makes that rumour look true because she's got this amazing lawyer. Now, Adelaide was not able to testify in her own defence. Because that was not allowed until the Criminal Evidence Act of 1898. Woohoo, fact fans. So the defence called no witnesses, although it did give a 6-hour closing statement. So, great.
Wow.
That's not that a closing
long.
Statement.
It is too long. Now, the main forensic aid to Adelaide was that the liquid chloroform reached the stomach without burning the sides of the throat and the larynx. Wow. Edwin did not have such burns on his... Excuse me while I turn the page.
Esophagus.
Body.
Body.
And esophagus, because that's esophagus. In the body. Which bolstered the suicide theory, because you would think that rapid drinking would suggest that they'd done it very quickly and that they'd rushed the poison drink down. But still, there should have been a trace amount. So, question, what verdict did the jury come to? Did they think that she was guilty or innocent?
I would say guilty because again, done and dusted, get somebody for the crime because she's a woman and because it's just easy.
Good instincts. That is a lot of times what they go for. Anyone else got anything different to say?
Was it the defence that did the 6-hour?
Yes. The defence went on for 6 hours.
I kind of feel like...
No, that was the closing statement.
That was the closing statement of...
I mean, I don't know when sort of like beyond all reasonable doubt came in, but I think if you could talk about something for 6 hours, particularly something that feels as though this story feels as though it hasn't got a huge amount, it hasn't got 6 hours of background to it, like,
yeah,
so I yeah. feel like maybe they found her innocent just I think he filibustered. I think that I think they found her innocent because actually they got confused by 6 hours. I can barely watch 6 hours of like a drama series, like, let alone.
Yeah, they were like, fuck this. I want it to end. Goodbye.
It's very rough going. I think I suffered more with the OJ trial than anyone involved in the case. I'm really torn on this one because, as usual, it's that battle of privilege versus privilege and gender versus gender, but then someone that's bucking the system.
Where does the power lie?
Exactly. I think maybe she was found not guilty.
Okay. Wow. Great instincts. Let me reveal to you. When the jury returned to court after considering its verdict, the foreman said, although we think grave suspicion is attached to the prisoner, we do not think there is sufficient evidence to show how or by whom the chloroform was administered. The foreman then confirmed that the verdict was not guilty, which was greeted with rapturous applause, public opinion having moved in Adelaide's favour during the course of the trial.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We would still like to import brie and good wine.
Yeah, so. We've got to keep the French happy. But yeah, so the issue of how the poison got in Edwin's stomach, now nobody said capsules, and I'm genuinely going to, after this, Google when capsules were invented. Because, like, you can make your own capsules now. You can just, like, get some cod liver oil and some olive oil and some... What, am I the only Breaking Bad person here? Like, you can buy gel capsules and you can just, like, make your own little supplements and stuff. But did they have... I mean, I guess they didn't have gel capsules then. Well, but what did they have? Horse pills? What... I mean, like...
Yeah,
but,
that's such an interesting little...
Because that would have kept it from doing that.
When did
from
it go from,
that?
Like, tincture into capsules?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was such a huge mystery. And listen to this. The fact that they didn't burn him on the way down with this thing... A very famous doctor at the time, this surgeon called Sir James Paget... He made a famous quip and he said, now that she has been acquitted for murder and cannot be tried again, she should tell us in the interest of science how she did it.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. So they
Can you
thought
not
that
get
she was
tried again.
No, she can't. Well, the law was like, it's double jeopardy. Like, you can't go down again.
And
for the same
we
crime.
Need to do a case where double jeopardy was invented. Just a note for me, because I never plan ahead on these cases.
But that's amazing. I love the idea that they can be like not guilty, and you can be like, suckers!
Yeah,
he's killed him.
How did you do it, bro?
So she never said how she did it, if she did do it.
She never said if it was capsules.
You know,
we'll never know if Taylor was right.
I know the stereotype of the French has to do with cheese in my head, but you know
you
what
think
they...
You think she put it in brie?
They're but do you know what they do? Good rinds. Rinded cheese.
And they put chloroform in that rind.
Well, I just feel like maybe she understood a coating. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Long before the English were like, maybe we should preserve our cheese in a coating.
Okay. Well, we will never know, Taylor. We will never know. Question, how do you think she did it? We've capsules, stomach pump, injection. We've
rind.
About this. Rind. We've got rind now.
I'm not sure she did it at all. I'm not sure she did do it at all.
Oh, she didn't do it. It wasn't her, yeah.
I still think it's Dr. Leach. Still think it's
Dr.
him.
He's got
a dodgy name.
It is a dodgy name. Oh, I gave a prescription, but I was reluctant. Well, what kind of fucking doctor are you?
Do we still know? Still fucking did it, Dr. Leach.
Did she get an inheritance? Do we know that?
Well, either she got it or Dyson got it. If they, once they were acquitted, I guess, they would have inherited stuff. But they actually disappeared from public notice after the trial. And there were journalists and stuff, but there was an impression that they had got married, but no one knew for sure. But there was also this idea that they never met again and they just disappeared and went their separate ways. So they either disappeared and got married or they disappeared and went their separate ways.
Cheers.
Drunk women solving crime.
This is from our listener, Sarah. I won't give her second name. because we preserve our listeners' anonymity. Anyway.
Anonymity.
That one. Dear Drunk Women, on the topic of this week's episode, there was a recent episode about animals being taken to court, and she says that she has a listener's crime to do with that. So she says, I live with two cats, Callie and Kajsa. Now, I'm just going to apologise now. I've probably pronounced your cat's names wrong.
Definitely. Not probably. Thinking. Definitely.
Definitely. Why would I pick a case where I can't even pronounce the cat's name? I'm so sorry, Sarah. These cats live in a small flat on the ground floor. The cats go in and out as they please through an open window and the little staircase on the outside. She tries to keep the window open as often as possible because they haven't figured out how to tell her how they want to go out. She says, we're working on communication skills and getting there. Naturally, I don't ever leave the window open when I leave the house, but sometimes I do when I go to sleep because that's when K&K, she calls them K&K, and that's what I'm going to call them. They like to do their running around. They're active at 3 to 5 in the morning, but she is not. Now, I have woken up several times to the sound of a cat eating food in my kitchen, and I have learned to tell from the sound that it is not my cat. When I get up, I see a nanosecond of a glimpse of this cat as it jumps out through the window and is enough to see that it's the same cat each time.
Oh!
At one time, I tried to be clever and tiptoed close to the window first, trapping the food thief inside. After some chasing, during which it tore down half a bookshelf and most of my potted plants, I caught it and we stared at each other. K and K are mostly fur and bone, but this cat was all muscles. I have never met such a buff cat before.
Is anyone else turned on? Just need to check.
I mean, kind of. Now, I knew I couldn't hold it for long. We stared, adrenaline pumping. It dug. She's written this. This is very gripping. It dug a claw deep in my cheek.
Oh.
And I carefully pulled it out. Angry cat attacked. Jesus. And threw the cat out. I mean, that's dark. Mm-hmm. Now, after this confrontation, I've had a couple of months of quiet, but last week it was back, munching away. I've seen Callie in company of this cat once outside, and one time when I chased it away, Callie walked after it and out of sight. Other cats have poked a curious nose through my window, but have been chased away instantly by K&K. I don't know if it's Callie's friend brought home from school or if it's a bully stealing his lunch money. Either way, I don't want and can't really afford to keep feeding it, and it's obviously not starving. I don't want to limit K&K's lives more than necessary. I had to keep them indoors in my previous apartment, and they clearly suffered from it. What do I do? Thank you for an awesome podcast. One day, it may be possible to travel to London and see a live show. The things we took for granted one day. Cheers, Sarah. Also, drunk women need help solving the crime bit.
Well, weirdly, it connects with our crime, doesn't it? Because it's like a third has entered the marriage. But it's causing trouble.
And how welcome was that third?
Yeah.
Was it a breath of fresh air? Or is it ruining everything?
The muscular cat.
Yeah.
The Dyson of the group.
I mean, the thing is, she doesn't mention if this cat has a collar. Like, so you can't tell if he's like a feral cat that's stealing everybody's food in the neighbourhood and he's just got really buff from all his stealing, or if he's actually got a lovely home. I did just call a cat buff. I don't know what's wrong with me. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't have quite enough information. But also, the only thing I can suggest... which is not something I specifically approve of, but, like, you know, those cat collars you get or dog collars where, like, you get, you know, you have a cat flap and then your cat has a collar so they
got
can
the
get
magnet.
Through.
Yeah.
But another cat will get an electric shock if they try and come through. But she's talking about windows, so...
I think if you keep your window open, you know, you're welcoming the cats of the neighbourhood in, to be honest. If you've not got a system, if you've not got the collars...
Right.
Then I think, you know, if I walk past, I'm like I'm in a cartoon. If I walk past an open windowsill
window
with a pie,
cooling
sorry,
down.
I just took that to its conclusion. If Hannah George goes past an open window and there happens to be a meal on the other side of that window,
when you're calling a cat boss, there was this thing the other day where we were talking with my friends about finding when you're young, like. Mm. Cartoons that kind of sexy you know, and one of the things that came up was about you know, Robin Hood,
sexy fox.
The fox,
everyone fancies that fox,
not the first
and that's a weird
up.
Concept mm-hmm. isn't it, about fancying a fox when you're young. And like, And we were talking about different animals and, like, anyway.
Sorry. You're right. Everybody fancies that damn fox.
I know. It's a strange thing, isn't it?
It's really, like, it's the most fancied animal, I reckon, in history.
Yeah. The sexy fox.
Yeah.
Sorry, I digress.
But it's true. It's true. But often I always think that it's kind of because they obviously have lines and a personality and they feel quite human. I think, like, you know, it's all right.
Exactly.
To fancy
they feel human.
The fox. Yeah. Yeah. Mate, don't worry. But I do think that, you know, if you just suddenly call a cat buff, that's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the weirdo. Oh, okay. I didn't even fancy this fox. I thought it was a bit
like
a
cat. You fancy the cat, the buff cat.
Katie hasn't seen muscles.
I fancy
in a long
cats
time.
With a strong, and I stand by it. I don't, you guys.
I think, like, I love the fact they had a tussle. They had a proper, like, she trapped it inside and they had a proper cat fight.
Like,
I love it.
Scarface kind of shit going on.
Yeah, I think that open your heart to this cat, and I think this cat might be a stray, and I think actually let
it's a cool
in.
Cat.
Yeah, just
cool
be friends.
But she doesn't know if it's like a friend to her cats or a bully to her cats.
You know, I think if you kill it with kindness, then maybe it'll become good.
Interesting. I love that as a philosophy.
This cat is meant to be in your life. Either shut it out by closing the window or embrace it. This is lockdown. Yeah. Nothing is uncertain now. You got to make definitive decisions. Yeah. Just A or B, baby. A or B.
Make your cats apocalypse proof.
That's right.
To be continued.
To be continued.
To be continued.
Nice.
That was very good. So, is our advice to shut your windows?
Yep, as always.
Maybe get a cat flap, maybe get some electric shocks. I'm not 100% behind that advice, but it would solve that problem.
Some shit cat food.
Yeah, shit exactly. Cat food, interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. Give them subpar cat food. He'll only come when he's very hungry. Right, sorted. We have solved that crime. Cheers. Woo! We have just enough time to talk to Kelly Shirley. What are you up to?
What am I up to?
What would you like to plug? What
can we find you?
Where can we find you?
Okay, so I do a series on Sky and Stars called In the Long Run, which
is awesome. So good.
Hannah's fella has been in, Toby.
Yay!
He's in series one, smashing it, and it is the only series on at the moment where it has a black family at the helm, and it's created by Idris Elba, and it's just funny and brilliant and got an amazing soundtrack. So I'm in that with amazing perm.
Amazing. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, your perm is incredible. Perm.
Good perm. And then,
is it a real perm or a wig?
It's half and half. Because wow. I'm like, you know that scarecrow from, what's he called?
Words
that scarecrow?
Of Gummidge.
Yes, Words of Gummidge. I'm like Words of Gummidge. My hair's really thin and pathetic. So they had to really fill it out with lots of pieces. Pieces.
Cool. Okay.
So if you want to see Words of Gummidge in the 80s, with casual racism, tune in. It's really good.
We've been plugging this properly.
It's a really good show. No, but it really is.
It's awesome.
It is. It's like 25 minutes of Pepsi and Shirley and amazing sounds.
Awesome.
And Idris being great.
Yay.
So that, and then I'm fronting a campaign at the moment about mums who are about to give birth to donate their cord blood to the anti-Nolan charity.
Oh, wow.
To combat blood cancer. So
amazing.
If you're about to give birth and you want to not eat your placenta, like, please just donate it, because it can really help save someone's life.
That's amazing.
That's so good.
So I'm doing that at the moment.
What's that called again?
It's the Anti-Nolan Trust. And you can literally, when you're about to give birth, just sign it up to them. And it doesn't hurt you or your baby, and it's an amazing thing to do.
Such awesome. A great cause, and they
and
don't...
it literally saves someone's life. Literally, saves someone's life. So
that's
please,
amazing.
Otherwise, it's just chucked away, which is just crazy.
They don't promote it enough, so that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, my best friend is going to give birth in the next, like, 2 days, and I'm going to message her in a minute and be like, bitch, what are you doing with your placenta?
Why are you eating it? Don't eat it.
Yeah. Cold blood.
To someone with blood cancer, please.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Give it up for Kelly Shelley.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.